Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining me right now is Michael Fabiano, NFL Network fantasy expert. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael_Fabiano. And to play fantasy football and get all the expert advice, NFL.com/fantasy. Michael, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, my friend? I was actually just in New York last week NFL event.
Isn't it the greatest city in the world by far?
I love it, man. I love New York. Love it. I mean, I'm an East Coaster, so it's always good to get back.
Where are you from?
Connecticut.
Oh, okay. So you're basically a New Yorker in a way. I mean,
I lived in New York for several years, yes.
Nice. Here's the thing I wrestle with every single year. If I'm not picking in the top five, top eight, I get very excited about getting that superstar quarterback, usually Aaron Rodgers, because usually I assume a defender's not going to fall on him and he's going to miss, 10 games of the season, 9 games of the year. I have told myself personally, Evan, because I talk to myself and I use my name when I talk to myself. I said, Evan, you know what? Stop falling in love with a quarterback that early, all right? You can find so many guys throughout the draft. What is your advice on when is too soon to be aggressive and get a quarterback the caliber of Aaron Rodgers?
Well, first off, Evan, listen to yourself, because the Evan that's telling you to wait is giving you very good advice. Now, if I am in the fifth round, say middle of the fifth round, and Aaron Rodgers is still on the board, then I'm going to be tempted to pick him. If Tom Brady is still on the board in the sixth or seventh round, same with Russell Wilson, I'm going to be tempted to pick him. But I am not afraid to wait, because every single year without fail, late round quarterbacks end up being top 10 quarterbacks. And there's top 10 quarterbacks that finish highly year in and year out that are still on the board in the ninth or 10th round. Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, for example. Carson Wentz was a late-round pick last year. Alex Smith wasn't drafted in a lot of leagues last year. The year before, Matt Ryan was a late-round pick, and he was the MVP of the league. There's always going to be value late in drafts. It's great to have Rodgers and Brady and Russell Wilson. And this year, Deshaun Watson is really moving up. If you look into some of the high-stakes leagues right now, Watson is being drafted right behind Rodgers. But I would rather wait. I just don't like taking a quarterback in the first four rounds, because it really hurts either my running back or wide receiver position, and I'd rather have strength at those two spots.
Yeah, and I want to hit on what you just said, and that's the emergence of Deshaun Watson, who, when he played last year, was tremendous. I mean, no doubt. He was awesome when he played. But I have a tough time trusting him too much right now because of the health concerns and worry of that knee. How high would you go with Deshaun Watson because of that worry that I think you have to have? He hasn't played a full season in the NFL yet.
For me, Watson is my fourth quarterback, which means I'd probably look at him in the sixth or seventh round, which means I'm not getting him.
I was going to say.
And I'm not getting him. So Watson last year, you said he was good. He was historically good.
Yeah.
He averaged over 27 fantasy points a game in the six starts that he made. If you project that over a full season, he scores more points than anyone ever in the history of fantasy football. So regression is coming for Deshaun Watson. With that being said, he has got that combination of an arm and a really good skill in terms of running with the football that makes him so mouth-wateringly valuable for fantasy fans. But again, it's the same situation. I would not take a quarterback, especially someone coming off an ACL who really has a small sample size, until the sixth or seventh round. And in that case, he's not going to be on most of my rosters.
I also wonder, because a part of why he was so historic, like you mentioned, the seven games he played, is what he can do with his legs, if he'll cut down on that aggressiveness because of the ACL injury.
It's possible. And also keep in mind, this is the second time he's torn an ACL.
Right.
He tore an ACL in college as well while he was at Clemson. So this is two ACLs that he's had in his football career. So there's certainly some room for concern when it comes to that. But every report that you've seen and heard has been very positive about Watson. And with medical technology being what it is, I mean, you've been playing fantasy football for a long time. you can probably remember when a guy has an ACL, whether he was a wide receiver or a running back or a quarterback, there was always like that one year where he needed to get mental and physical confidence back in that knee. That's not the case anymore. Ever since Adrian Peterson rushed for 2,100 yards less than a year after ACL surgery, it seems like everyone's coming back quicker. Same thing with the Dalvin Cook, for example. So there's less of a concern when it comes to that, but he has had an injury history. And I feel like some people believe that he's going to be able to equal what he did last year, and that's his ceiling. So there's going to be some regression. With that being said, I still see him as a top five fantasy quarterback.
We're talking to Michael Fabiano. Any concern? Two factors here on Brady. Number one is age. He's in his 40s. Number two, the weapons that he has. No Edelman to start the year. Any concern about some regression from Tom Brady finally?
You know what? Every single season, it seems like this guy just gets better and better. And he's putting up 18 to 20 points per game on average based on different scoring systems, no matter who his weapons are. And if you look back, Tom Brady's never had the greatest arsenal of weapons. I mean, you remember when he had Randy Moss and they were putting up massive points week in and week out. He has Rob Gronkowski, but this is a guy who at certain points in his career has played with, well, less than stellar talent around him and still put up good numbers. He'll get Edelman back after four games. I think Chris Hogan is ridiculously undervalued at this point because of his touchdown potential and his potential target share, especially in the first 4 weeks. You've got Gronkowski in the mix. And don't forget, you've got three really good pass-catching running backs in Rex Burkhead, Sony Michel, who's now back at practice, and James White. So I still feel like Brady has plenty of weapons around him. I don't like the fact that he lost Isaiah Wynn, that offensive lineman, to injury. With that being said, Father Time has not been able to catch up to Tom Brady, and I'm not betting against him this season because he has just been so good. There's been no regression.
Right.
We saw regression in Peyton Manning. He had that one big year. The following year, at the end of that season, we started to see some cracks in his armor. And then the following year, he was a bust. We haven't seen that with Tom Brady yet.
Yeah, and another older guy is Drew Brees. And to me, it wouldn't be the age. It would be the weapons around him almost taking away his arm being as important as it's been in years past. And we saw that last year. What do you think of Drew Brees at this point?
He's in my top 10, but he's at the bottom of the top 10. A guy who's almost 40 years old himself. And you mentioned it. They changed their offensive philosophy last year to match what they have in terms of their talent. And the two best players on that roster were Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. Michael Thomas is fantastic as well. But when you go from throwing the ball over 60% of the time to right around the mid-50s, that's going to mean regression for your quarterback. And it wasn't that Drew Brees wasn't good last year. He was good. But from a fantasy perspective, he's not throwing the ball 650 times because he doesn't have to. And with Ingram back, maybe we see Brees throw, with Ingram suspended, maybe we see Brees throw the ball a little bit more over the first four games. But ultimately, the Saints found success with the run. And I don't think they're going to stray from that in 2018. And that's going to hurt Drew Brees' ceiling in terms of his long-term statistical success.
When you look at average draft position with this guy, do you think that people are overrating from a fantasy perspective what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be able to do this year?
No, because his average draft position is the 10th or 11th round at this point. And that's right in the sweet spot for Jimmy G. Last year, in his starts, he was the QB 10. And that was without Pierre Garçon. That was without Jerick McKinnon. They added weapons. He gained a great rapport with Marquise Goodwin, who was really flying up draft boards. Jimmy G is one of those players that if you're like me and you like to wait on a quarterback, you'll be targeting in the 10th or 11th round. Maybe you get a Stafford and then you get a Garoppolo as your QB2, and you can kind of utilize the matchups and play both of those guys week in and week out. He is one of the four or five quarterbacks that I'm targeting late. Ben Roethlisberger would be another guy that I'm targeting late. Even Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck is on the board in the 10th or 11th round, why the heck not take a chance on this guy?
Yeah.
In his last three full seasons, I mean, he's been QB4 or better.
Yeah, he was. He makes me nervous, but you're right. I guess if you pair him with somebody else as insurance, it's
right,
worth
exactly.
the risk.
Exactly. So what you do is, if you get Rodgers or Brady or Watson or Russell, then you don't really need to draft a second quarterback. There's no reason to do it because you're never going to sit those guys.
Right.
But if you end up with a Luck or a Stafford or a Brees, then you pair them with a Roethlisberger or a Patrick Mahomes or a Phillip Rivers, and you're sitting pretty at quarterback, and you probably didn't have to draft one of these guys until the 9th or 10th round.
Yeah, I did a mock draft the other day. This is why I said this about Garoppolo. where he was taken in the seventh round. And to me,
that's too high. That's okay. Reaching.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely reaching. And you're seeing that, too. There's certain players that people are reaching for right now. Royce Freeman, and I love Royce Freeman. Mm-hmm. He's getting picked in the third or fourth round in some drafts. I'm seeing Marquise Goodwin go in the sixth or seventh round. I love him, but that's a little bit of a reach. And as a fantasy owner, in my drafts, I'm trying to get the best values I can get per round. Now, if I really like somebody, would I be willing to reach a round for them? Yeah, absolutely. But Garoppolo in the seventh round, that's a three or four round reach as far as I'm concerned.
We're talking to Michael Fabiano, NFL Network fantasy expert. We saw Jared Goff take a big jump last year. And I think it's natural to make the comparison of, hey, similar situation for Mitchell Trubisky. They brought in a new head coach, offensive guy. I don't know if it's going to be the same kind of jump, but how big can that jump be for you with Trubisky?
I'm still seeing Trubisky left undrafted in a lot of leagues. And it's not because the Bears haven't done everything possible in the offseason to make him better, right? They added Allen Robinson. They drafted Anthony Miller. They bring in Taylor Gabriel. They bring in Trey Burton, who, by the way, is a massive sleeper at tight end. But the position is so deep that it's really hard to make an argument in terms of drafting Trubisky if you're in a 10-team league when the last guy coming off the board is an Alex Smith or a Marcus Mariota. Dak Prescott's not even being drafted in a lot of leagues. So Trubisky does compare to Goff in that what were we talking about last year? Goff is a wild card.
Right.
No one expected him to take a huge leap forward, but if he did, suddenly a lot of the Rams' weapons are going to be valuable, and we saw that with Cooper Kupp, and we saw that with Robert Woods when he was playing, not so much Sammy Watkins, who's now in Kansas City, but we saw that leap, and if Trubisky can take that leap, then you're looking at Allen Robinson's value going up, Burton's value going up, the value of Tariq Cohen going up as well. So there certainly is that comparison. You could also draw that comparison to a Patrick Mahomes, too, who if you watch this guy in the preseason, I mean, he's got a hand cannon. He threw that ball 67 yards in the air longer than any pass that was completed last year, and I think that was Goff at 62 yards. And when you put him with Hill and Watkins, who can stretch defenses, and Travis Kelce and Kareem Hunt in the background, all of a sudden you're giving this kid the keys to the Ferrari in Kansas City in an offense that made Alex Smith a QB4 in 2017.
One last thing real quick. Carson Wentz. Concern over him trying to come back from this ACL? How high would you draft him?
A little bit of concern, and hopefully we're going to find out here pretty soon whether or not he's going to be ready for week one. But here's the thing, Evan. You're not going to have to draft him highly. He's not going off the board until the ninth round in drafts right now. And if we get news that he's not going to be ready for week one, he may slide into the 10th round, into the 11th round. And at that point, I'll take the risk on him because I can get another quarterback, again, like a Rivers, like a Roethlisberger, someone that I can start with confidence until Wentz comes back. People forget. I mean, I get Nick Foles was the Super Bowl hero last year, and Foles has looked like garbage in preseason this season, but Wentz was one of the three best quarterbacks in fantasy football last year before he went down. He was putting up numbers every single week. So I'm not afraid of the injury so much because I'm not really using a high draft pick to get Wentz regardless of if he's back in week one or maybe he's going to be back a week or two into the regular season.
Mm. Michael, appreciate it. Thank you very much for popping on.
My pleasure.
Michael Fabiano, NFL Network fantasy expert. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael_Fabiano. And if you want to play fantasy football and get all the expert advice, you can visit NFL.com/fantasy.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.